Good morning, this is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the March 28, 2024 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is being made available telephonically for access by the public. DJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask people on the telephone to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel of RI Housing. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website to view today's agenda and information and documents on each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference portion of this meeting is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chair of the Board, Stephen Pryor, will preside at this morning's meeting. Commissioners and staff, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those listening in by teleconference. With that, I will turn it over to the Chair to call the meeting to order. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Corey, I appreciate it very much. I'm Stephen Pryor. I'm calling the meeting to order. It is 9:36 a.m., and I'm going to ask Carol to conduct the roll call.
Commissioner Orr.
Here.
Commissioner Pryor.
Here.
Commissioner Dios.
Here.
Commissioner Desiree Cabral.
Here.
Jim.
All right. I am going to introduce board action number one, approval of the minutes. This is for February 15th. Would you take a new look at the minutes? Just refresh your recollection, and when you're ready, I'll entertain a motion. Is there a motion?
Make a motion. This is James.
Seconded by Kevin. Any edits, amendments, or questions on the minutes? Hearing none, I will ask Corey to conduct the voice vote.
Yes. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on February 15th, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 4 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Great. My only remarks this morning are to thank the Rhode Island Housing team for advancing some projects from our one-stop review round. I want to thank also our two teams, the Rhode Island Housing team and the Housing Department team led by Deputy Secretary Deb Flannery, for working very well together and making really good progress on separate and joint procedures and forms of collaboration. So this is good stuff. It's just great to see the individual housing developments moving forward. Big thanks to James and to Ann under Carol for making it all happen. So with that, I'm going to introduce board action number 3. Carol, are we missing your item? Are you? Somehow or other in the sequence here, it's not listed for me. But
right, in lieu of my report, we'll do the goals.
Okay, great. You want to do that right now?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Very good. All right. Perfect. So, once again, introducing board action number 3, adoption of executive performance goals. So we're very grateful, Carol, for your presentation on this issue, and please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. And I've prepared 5 goals, and I want to thank the chairman for his assistance in working through these goals and coming up with what I think are a bit of a stretch, but achievable in the context of the work that we do in the state. The first goal is to advance, the 5-year strategic planning goals. We established the goals in 2022, and we've been at work on those for about 2 years now, and we've made quite a bit of progress on the plan, including establishing a 5-year production plan along with a capital finance plan, which helps us to evaluate and consider where we invest our resources and how we invest them It also provides us with an annual look as to the next year and what's happening across the state and the resources that are available to finance the development of housing that they allow us to do other strategic things with our resources. We have been focusing on opportunities to combine housing opportunities with services and accessibility to community space at the development site was a priority. We believe that on site to assist families, make them more successful in their housing. We are beginning to formulate thoughts on a starter home program, although mindful of the housing bond that makes to that. Slow that down a little bit and evaluate once the bond is approved to do some homeownership. And as you know, we recently launched our NOAA program and the team closed the first NOAA deal Monday in Central Falls, so opportunity to preserve some affordability in that community, which is critically important for the mayor. We are continuing to work closely with our PHA partners through the PHA program. All of the resources under that program have been allocated. We continue to be a resource to cities and towns, and the MTAP program, which is a technical assistance program, has been very helpful. Towns think about how they change their ordinances and comply with various bills that the speaker has set forth. And I don't have to tell you the upcoming 24 to 36 months, which it's exciting for us, and it's going to be very busy as we try to deploy all of the fiscal recovery dollars. Let me welcome Commissioner McAllister to the meeting. The second goal is to collaborate with state departments to advance the governor's housing agenda, certainly coordinating with the housing department to make sure that we deploy all of the fiscal recovery resources, help oversee the implementation of the proactive development entity, and partner with other state departments as they think about how to house the persons that they serve. Increasing productivity and efficiency in everything we do, whether it's operations of the agency or through our programs, is vitally important. We continually focus on how to increase efficiency in housing programs, pivoting quickly to develop or modify existing programs to meet current needs. And we intend to commence a process on our development processes, application to shovels in the ground. So once Ian can come up for air, probably this summer we'll engage with a consultant and bring them on board to look at what are the bottlenecks, what is slowing us down, how we can make it quicker, what are we asking for that we don't need to be asking for, et cetera. The SFRS funding, again, top priority, administering those dollars. Yesterday, we rolled up our fiscal recovery dashboard, which provides information to the public on how the resources are being allocated, how they're being spent, what projects are receiving that funding, exploring financing strategies to advance the production of affordable homeownership opportunities. And we're wrapping up updates to our design and construction guidelines. We've taken the opportunity to provide UTIL with a change order on this project to have them really focus on accessibility for people in our developments. That's going to slow us down a little bit with rolling out the new design guidelines, but I think it's imperative that we do that. Exploring technology options. I know that our ownership group has a hybrid solution that they're looking at closely, which would expedite the process for our customers, and I think this is where all lenders will be going in the future, is with an e-closed solution. And staff will continue to participate in the Housing Department statewide planning process. Christine is representing us at those meetings. Building relationships and partnerships is how we can be successful, and we'll continue to focus on this over the next month. We have built a very strong relationship with the head of the state, and I think this will allow us to work on the council municipalities, developers, and service providers to advance our mission. And lastly, continue to build upon the successful work that's been done over the past month to reduce barriers to homeownership for BIPOC groups and use QAP to best prioritize how we serve our most vulnerable. Islander. Upward this.
Thank you very much, Carol. Well done. Thank you also for the partnership approach to creating these goals. And these goals were taken through the management committee as well. We received feedback very helpful. But most importantly, Carol, thank you for crafting these. And I want to point out just a couple of things. You've articulated these well. The very first item on the five-year strategic plan goals, we do aim for outcome-oriented performance metrics and to track how we advance against these goals. Important for us to refresh the plan and also to measure ourselves to ensure progress given the range of challenges out there. We also did articulate that there would be a new look at the overall strategy of the agency and talked about a possibility, Carol, in that instance, and discussed this in National Committee, taking a fresh look at the agency strategy, we would initiate in the new fiscal year, given when you have a chance to look at the operating budget anew in,
yes,
in light of all the... Do you want to say anything more about just the timing on that?
Yes. We will begin to craft a solicitation that will allow us to engage a consultant on helping bringing us through it's not going to be a full, large strategic planning process, but certainly another look at where we are vis-a-vis the goals in the strategic plan and where we need to move forward, given the availability of resources that we have and certainly the government's housing agenda. So we'll start the process of drafting that, rolling it out after the first of the fiscal year so that we have the resources budgeted to pay for that consultant.
Makes good sense in my view, and that is, for those tracking, that's item 3 on the first page of the goal, the last bullet initiating the strategic process. Thank you for that, Carol. And then also just, it's in the resolution itself. We'll expect to receive updates on this. Carol does that so well routinely anyway at the board meetings, and we'll add this set of goals to our routine check-ins, executive director chair check-ins, on a regular basis as well in the interim, just to make sure that we're fleshing this out and getting it done and transitioning at some point here to the personnel renewal conversation that is inherent to the goals process for the executive director. Anything else, Carol, before we just open it up to everybody?
One other thing, Chairman. I did have the opportunity to have a call with Commissioner Womer about his view on performance metrics, and I just share with him performance metrics that we provide for the agency, and that is on our accountability page. We're required to do that. And I'll do is I'll circle back with the board next month at our meeting and provide you with the metrics we have, see if they're satisfactory, and if you'd like to add to them. I had the opportunity to speak with Commissioner Orth about metrics related to our financing. The finances of the agency, so I know he has some comments on that as well.
If it's comfortable for you and good with everybody, I'd love to. That's a crucial conversation, the performance metric. I'd like to raise it proactively. Maybe we can add it to our quick check-in.
Okay.
If we do have management committee, we'll take it there.
Certainly. Yes.
Everyone agrees to that. Fantastic. Open to all commissioners for questions. Please, Kevin.
I think these goals are great, and they align very, very much with our five-year strategic plan. I would echo that it'd be great to get some metrics thrown in there that we can track and watch our progress. I see that definitely the program management is in here. Our external relationships are highlighted. One key that I don't see is financial management. We are a self-sustaining agency, and so if we are not solvent, we can't go about our mission. So I would like to make sure that's included here. I would, say ensure financial strength and integrity of Rhode Island Housing, and maybe we can track that through a couple of the metrics, maybe the key metrics that Carrie, you report on quarterly, I would suggest equity to assets ratio, maybe trying to do better than 15%.
It's a trade-off.
I know. There are, I know, moving out of CBA market and other factors,
yes.
But, not set in stone, but a goal. And return on assets, I'd say maybe, 55, better than 55 basis points. I'll throw that out there.
It's a goal.
And then another one I'd say is loan delinquency. Non-performing assets to total loans and REO of, I guess, better than 2%. Is that reasonable, achievable?
Yeah, I think some may be a stretch, but what I can do is at the next update, I can bring what S&P uses for their kind of benchmarks depending
right.
on our rating, our bond rating, and then we can compare to that.
And if you have other financial metrics that you think might be
good.
Happy, but I just want to make sure that we
introduce it as a conversation. So obviously, executive staff can bring forward their
thoughts. Certainly.
Yeah. Carol, anything more you want to say on that?
No, I think I agree. Yeah, they are good metrics to track.
That's what I mean.
Some we can control more than others, Jim.
Somewhat is logical, and just I would say that we can consider this a friendly embellishment, not even an amendment, in that there are two provisions where we can track this in the goals. One is leverage technology and new business processes to increase agency productivity, so productivity and effectiveness around finance, and also identify and implement innovative financing strategies to advance affordable homeownership opportunities. In that set of things, we should track the finances of the agency. None of those are the perfect fit, but we will do that. We will do all of the above. Kevin, anything else before we move forward with these as is?
I have to get too much into the framework. I just want to make sure this is highlighted
yes.
front and center, so
yep.
not necessarily to be buried underneath another one.
Yep. You want to insert one?
I would like to have it as a standalone if it doesn't mess up our voting on this.
If you don't mind it, just as a voice item, just say the sentence and let's let Carol react.
To ensure the financial strength and integrity for our housing. And then we can have these three sub, metrics that I mentioned.
To track. Happy to put that in, Commissioner, if you'd like to. That's fine. Let me revisit with Kara the metrics themselves, and I want to be sure that we can easily explain to the board if there's deviation from those metrics.
Okay.
Good. And Carol, why don't you... should we have Carol insert it in the proper place, and we'll just read subsequent to the resolution on its final form. Carol and me.
I would imagine we would insert it under increase. If any efficiency is in a separate line item.
Third bracket, third item.
Yeah, third item. Or would you like a separate goal added?
I think it's overarching. I mean,
yeah.
I think financial management has to be overarching over everything that we do. So, to me, it's not necessarily is this particular program well run. It's the entire agency.
Okay. So then we'll add a goal number 7.
Great. That's my preference.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Great.
So the goal here is we're going to come back with some metrics.
Yes.
The next meeting.
Yes. I think by the next meeting, Carol?
We were actually two
meetings from now.
And I understand the goal, but they're going to come back.
Treasurer's asking, will we have those performance metrics for the agency? And for that matter, we'll start to look at financial metrics.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take it to management committee first.
Right.
And Carol, in the next two meetings. Does that sound about right? In case you need a little bit more?
Yes.
Does that sound reasonable?
Want
to know if it's coming. Anything else on metrics, performance, or financial? Stephen?
Just on the overall, one of the things I'm glad that was in here, we talked about it when we met, is, building the relationships with the non-traditional entities. We need all hands on deck to address our housing things. I think the people that work with Rhode Island Housing know what we do, but I think getting the word out and bringing newer people in, newer foundations, different groups and stuff like that, that may be able to take advantage of one or two different programs that have never done it before. I think that's a really good goal, and that's a good way to help address the housing needs. So I was pleased that we're there.
Yeah, I think it's in our best interest to be a little bit more proactive or aggressive on our solicitation and relationship building with partners and reaching out and encouraging folks to come to Rhode Island housing for development financing, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anything else on the goals? Sure. Anything else, Carol, before we move to the
vote? No, sir.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion on the goals. May I have a motion?
So moved. Kevin Horst.
Kevin, is there a second?
Second, Stephen Townsend.
Second, Stephen. Any further discussion or questions on the goals? Hearing none, Corey, conduct the voice vote, please.
Yes, and if I may just restate the motion to make sure I have it correctly. I understand the motion to be to adopt the Executive Director performance goals for calendar 2024 as amended orally to add a goal number 6 to ensure the financial strength and integrity of Rhode Island housing with quarterly reporting and metrics to be established in a subsequent meeting. Okay.
Yes.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 5 affirmative votes, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Okay. Item 4, board action number 4, approval of external charitable donations and contributions. I'm going to ask James Comer to present this item, if you would, James.
Certainly. Thank you. This is James Comer. We have one item on the charitable contributions list this month. It's in support of the Housing Network of Rhode Island, a trade organization for the nonprofit developers in the state, and a fantastic advocate for the work that we all do. They're having their annual meeting and award ceremony on June 3rd, and as we do every year, we will be supporting them with a sponsorship and sending some of our staff to go enjoy with all the partners that we work with on the nonprofit side. So this is for the sponsorship is $500. And 8 tickets totaling $560. The total amount is $1,060 for this event.
Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve James Fields.
Is there a second?
Second, Steve Kastner.
Questions or comments on the item?
Jim, if I may.
Oh, please.
I wanted to announce that Susan Boddington, the former Deputy Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing, is receiving an award at this event. So I'm very happy for her and congratulate her.
For noting that, Carol. Any other notations? Moved and seconded. We're still on questions. Any questions? None. I will ask Corey to conduct the voice vote.
Happy to. All those in favor of approving external charitable donations and contributions as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote, and the motion's approved.
All right. This is board action number 5. And are you ready? Approval of development of Affordable Housing 2 program at the AH2 funding awards. Please, Ann.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you. This is Ann Berman. So this request for action is for approval to award development of Affordable Housing 2 program funds to 6 separate projects. And I will note that it has been modified since our discussion at Credit Committee to include an additional funding award. 5 of the transactions we're going to talk about today received preliminary approval in May of 2023. And as we discussed at Credit Committee, in general, these developments are experiencing gaps due to one or more of the following: increased construction pricing, lower syndication pricing, and higher interest rates, sort of, unfortunately, the perfect storm. These deals generally have nearly final plans and specs, and once this gap is filled, should be able to move to firm commitment and closing fairly quickly. Each of the 5 will need to come back to the board for a standard firm commitment, which we expect in April, May, and June. The last transaction is under construction, but is experiencing cost overruns due to shortages and delays related to electric equipment, including switchgear, so that will not come back to us for additional approval. While reviewing all of these deals for additional funding commitments, we paid particular attention to some of the following factors to make sure that we were looking at everything equitably and fair across all of the projects. Size of the gap for which the developer was seeking additional funding as compared to the overall transaction, deferred developer fees and making sure that there was consistency with required policies, any value engineering undertaken, and as well as updated equity pricing. So these projects applied for funding in January as part of the large RFP. All 75 applications are being reviewed in accordance with the program criteria, and we are hoping to bring additional awards forward in April and May. The current recommendations are as follows. The first is for Reynolds Farm Senior Housing 2, and I will acknowledge that Paul Gagne, the president of the board of Valley Affordable Housing, is here. This deal, we hope, will come back in May for firm approval. 40 units of new construction in North Kingstown. The gap here was a result of higher insurance costs, higher interest rates, and lower credit pricing. And overall, the cost increased by approximately $1,970,000. They were able to fill nearly half of the gap with additional 4% equity, as well as a higher first mortgage and additional deferred fee. So we're recommending $1 million of DAH2 funding to close that funding gap. The next recommendation is for Broad Street Homes. The developer is One Neighborhood Builders. This project is 44 units. It's in Central Falls. The gap is a result of higher construction costs, and this includes requirements that have been imposed by the Historic Commission since one of the buildings that's being renovated is the old courthouse and police station, which is considered a historic structure, higher interest rates, and lower credit pricing. Their overall gap was $4.2 million, and we're recommending an award of $1,538,000 to fill the gap. So they were able to fill it with additional equity as well as other sources. The next project is Ade Bethune House. This is located in Portsmouth. It's new construction of 54 units for 55-plus age-restricted housing, as well as a new senior center. Since preliminary approval, their costs have increased about $6.1 million, but they were able to fill nearly $5 million of this with additional equity. They're now considered in a a small FMR, which allowed them to access the 130% boost. So we are recommending an award of $1,471,481, which is only about 24% of the overall gap, in order to complete the capital stack. And we expect this one will come to the board in May for firm approval. The next one is Walker Loss. This is the rehabilitation of a mill, historic mill in Lincoln. They're going to create 126 units, 32 of which will be affordable to households with incomes up to 80% of area median income. These folks also received approval in May of 2023. We are not the senior lender on this deal, so this will not come back to us for additional approval. The developer has experienced significant rising construction material costs. They are also now subject to prevailing wage because of the state historic credit requirements, as well as higher financing costs related to higher interest rates. Their gap is actually $10.5 million. They applied for nearly $6 million from us. However, we went back and trimmed their request. Since only 25% of the units are affordable, we sort of applied that metric. So we are recommending an award of $940,000 of DAH in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about a supplemental award of middle income for a total of $1,470,000 for that project. They will need to secure the remaining $4 million and change of equity. We've had a conversation with them. They feel confident that they can do that. And we expect that this project will close by the end of July. The next recommendation is Parcel 9. I note that Charlie Adams is here from Penrose. Parcel 9 is closed and well under construction, which is going well. They are creating 66 units in the Fox Point neighborhood of Providence. We are recommending an award of $100,000 to assist with some cost overruns related to the delays in electrical equipment and switchgear, which seem to be plaguing a lot of developments, and this will be split pro rata between both their 4% and 9% transactions. The last recommendation, and this is the one that's been added since credit committee, is for Rosebrook Commons. This is going to be a 64-unit development in Middletown. The developer is the Messalolo Development Corporation. There will be 51 LIHTC units and 13 middle-income units. Since preliminary approval, they have experienced higher construction costs of about $5.5 million. They initially requested the Priority Projects Fund and middle income to fill the gap. So working with the Department of Housing, they are recommending a PPF award of $2,456,500, which sort of is consistent with the 30% units that are in the development, since the PPF is limited to those extremely low-income units. And we are recommending a similar award of development of affordable housing. There will also be a small middle income award. The balance of the gap will be funded with deferred fee. So in total, we are seeking approval of $7,506,051 in DAH funding that will all be in compliance with DAH guidelines. Happy to answer any questions.
And would you, you expressed this in credit committee, but would you just remind us how we reached the point where these early action items have gotten to the floor?
Sure. And really, it's because they were already so far along, these deals are nearly at firm approval, but for these gaps. You know, we know that there's 75 more applications. I'm happy to report that that is moving forward. So, but these projects are ready to proceed, right? And the goal here is to get housing built and units, you know, occupied. So that's really why we were able to expedite the review. We knew so much about these transactions.
And this is James Comer. The other piece of it being, of course, we have a hard stop on the SFRF dollars December of 2026. So the sooner we can get deals done, get the money out the door,
right,
the easier it is to spend that money and meet our obligations. So
right,
that's why these were a bit accelerated.
Right. And the only thing I would add is that for every single one of these, we gave them less than they asked for, right? We were trying to be as I don't want to use the word stingy, but as economical as we could to stretch the resources across as many efficient as across as many deals as we could.
Very helpful. And under guidance, these items were reviewed in credit committee. So these discussions were had there. But any questions on that overall point about how we've arrived at this moment of some of these items early or earlier? None. Anything on the projects themselves? Anything that you wanted to restate or are you good?
I'm good. I might just add that I'd just like to commend the staff. This is a difficult position to be in. Deals coming back after they've been, you know, approved and coming back in for such large requests, and then when you have so many new applications too, so it's a tough balancing act. And I applaud the effort.
Thank you. I would like to say though, you know, all of the development partners we had here also did a lot of work on their end too. As Ann said, they had bigger gaps than we're funding,
right,
and they put in a lot of work to work on that on their end as well and do what they can. So. A group effort.
Hearing no further comments or questions, motion to start. Is there a motion? Second.
Second, Stephen Allison.
Moved and seconded. One more shot at discussion or questions. Hearing none, Corey, would you conduct the voice vote, please?
Yes. All those in favor of approving development of affordable housing to program funding awards, As presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With five affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Very good. We're on Board Action 6, approval of, I'll note that the Treasurer has a pre-existing commitment and is departing, and Rob will be sitting in his seat and performing his function. Thank you, Treasurer.
Yes.
As we move on to Item 6, approval of Community Revitalization Program CRP funding awards, and we are back to Ann.
Thank you, Chairman. So this request for approval is to award Community Revitalization Program funds to one project known as Lockwood Apartments Phase 1. Similar to the previous DAH award action we just discussed, this development applied for funds under the recent consolidated RFP, and the request for additional funds was due to an increase in construction scope based on an updated capital needs study, as well as some requirements under the current fire code regulations. Similar to the DAH, we review this in the context of equitable across the board. We looked at the size of the gap, deferred fees, value engineering, as well as credit pricing. Based on the credit committee discussion, we did go back. We reviewed how the acquisition funds were being utilized, and this RFA is actually a smaller recommendation than we brought to credit committee. Lockwood One serves residents below 80% of AMI, although I will note that probably 80% of the units there are occupied by folks below 50%, and many of them are below 30% and benefit from housing choice vouchers. 108 units. Basically, these construction-related items, along with rising interest rates, resulted in a gap of about $2.6 million. As I mentioned, the developer requested $950,000, and we are recommending an award of $680,000. The difference will be accounted for in a sort of an increase in their seller loan to account for the reduction in finances, and we have had a conversation with them, and they are working really hard. We hope to bring this to firm approval in April, actually. So we're recommending an award of $680,000 in CRP funds. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions? There are none. May I receive a motion?
Motion to approve, Mr. Seed.
Is there a second?
Second it, Kevin Orr.
Seconded. Another shot at questions. Hearing none, Corey, please conduct the voice vote if you will.
Happy to. All those in favor of approving Community Revitalization Program funding awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved with five votes.
All right. And as Ann has alluded to, we are on to Board Action 7 regarding approval of middle income loan program funding awards. And back to Ann.
Thank you, Chair. So you'll notice each of these gets shorter and shorter because I figure you don't want me to repeat myself here. So we are looking for an approval of middle income program funds for two awards, for two projects. The first award is to Walker Lofts, which we just discussed. The gap, again, is material construction costs, prevailing wages, things of that sort. We are recommending an award of $530,000 of middle income. And I will note that the increase in middle income for both this project and the next one equates to the revised amount of middle incomes that are available on a per-unit basis under the revised program guidelines. So they're actually adding, in this case, they're adding one additional middle income unit, but the increase across the 32 units equates to the $530,000 additional funds. The second award is for Rosebrook Commons, and we are recommending an award of $152,538, and again, it addresses the difference in the previous middle income award based on the amount per unit. So in total, we're seeking authorization to commit $682,538 in middle income program funds in compliance with the middle income program guidelines. So happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Kevin Horn. Just one question. And so what is the new per unit guideline?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I think $75,000 for an efficiency, $85,000 for a one, and $95,000 for two-bedroom or larger.
Per unit.
Per unit, yes. And there is a, I might not get this right, there's an overall cap of two, not, of, you can't be more than 25% of the overall cost of the project, but I can circulate the program guidelines so that you see them.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Additional questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion, Robert.
Is there a second?
Mr. Steve.
Second by Steve. Any further discussion or questions on the item?
All those in favor of approving middle-income loan program reports as presented, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. With a unanimous vote, the motion is approved.
Great. We are at the end of the business agenda. Carol, anything before we conclude?
Thank you.
Thanks to Carol,
thank you.
Jane, and the whole team on moving these projects forward effectively as of this meeting. Really appreciate it. There's no further business and request a motion to adjourn. May I request such a motion?
So moved to adjourn. Seconded, Rob.
All right. Seconded. Great.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you very much, and congrats to the developments that are moving forward. Appreciate it, everyone.